Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to DC.
What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham. Here with you live and local on the Team 980 and always streaming live on the free Odyssey app. Ride with me. For the next 3 hours, I'll take you up to 3 o'clock here on the new midday show here in town, Burgundy and Gold Today. The combination of myself, the legend, Scott Jackson, and the DOC, Rick Doc Walker. We got you covered weekdays 12 to 3 right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. The best Commanders coverage in town. We got expert analysis, fan reaction, and the biggest names in Burgundy and Gold history. Plenty to get to here on today's show. We'll take a deep dive into the problems that exist for the Washington Commanders from the top down. I'm peeling back all the layers of the onion today. Because after what I saw this weekend, clearly we have deeper rooting issues than what's going on the football field. We'll take a closer look at how some of the guys are performing through the first 3 weeks of the season. Our first Commander stock report of the season. Whose stock is up? Whose stock is down? After 3 weeks of regular season action. Plus, we'll take a listen to Ron Rivera's media availability from yesterday because he had some pretty head-scratching comments that I'm ready to get to the bottom of, because let's just say the comments aren't matching what's actually happening within the football operations of the organization. Our good friend David Aldridge of The Athletic is set to join the program as well. That's at 1 o'clock, and unfortunately for David, I joke when I say that, he has covered the Washington football franchise for many, many, many years. So I'm eager to get his take pretty much on where things currently sit for this team and how he feels about the overall direction of the club. All that and more coming up at 1 o'clock when David Aldridge joins the show. We'll also put a bow on Washington's ugly performance against the Eagles. Former Commanders tight end and co-host of Odyssey's Take Command podcast, Logan Paulson, set to hop on with us at 2:15. And maybe we'll get to the bottom of why Washington's offense struggled so much in Sunday's loss against the Philadelphia Eagles. So a jam-packed, super jam-packed show here on Burgundy and Gold today. You all know how I get down. It's the people's show. I want to hear from you all. Team 980 listener lines wide open, 301-230-0980. Or you can get with me on Twitter and Instagram at NELL_BTP. I want to start by quickly recapping last night's Monday Night Football game between Dallas and the New York Football Giants. It was a 23-16 Dallas win. Cooper Rush improves his record to 3-0. As the backup starter for the Dallas Cowboys. I called him a backup starter because that's really what he is. He is a starter playing the role of a backup. Based off what I've seen from Cooper Rush the first 3 weeks, or the first 2 weeks, dating back to last week and then this week, and then go all the way back to last year and his one start against the Minnesota Vikings, he is ready. What do I mean by that? He is ready for big-time action. The stage never too bright for Cooper Rush. You can always tell that the Dallas Cowboys and their coaching staff do a tremendous job getting this young man prepared. And he really just never blinked. I mean, the New York Giants and their ferocious pass rush had him under siege all night long. He never blinked, stood in there and delivered throws time in and time out. CeeDee Lamb even caught a few passes after dropping a would-be touchdown. And that's a whole nother topic for conversation. Because CeeDee Lamb and his lack of production through the first couple of weeks of the season has been mind-boggling to me. Had a drop touchdown yesterday. And this is what happens when you let your number one wide receiver walk out of the door for pretty much nothing. Talking about Amari Cooper now with the Cleveland Browns. You get so-so production out of your number one wideout. And I think that hurt Dallas, and I think it's going to hurt them moving forward. But it didn't hurt them enough last night. They were able to pick up the victory on the road against the New York Giants and put a dent in their record for the first time this season. Some other things that really stood out to me, two marquee defenses with the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants. I mean, on both sides of the football, guys for Dallas just they play a certain way, and there's a certain mentality and a certain mindset that those guys play with. Dan Quinn does a great job getting those guys ready to play each and every Sunday. And I think they really take after the personality of their defensive coordinator. Not a lot of household names on that Dallas defense outside of Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence, and Trayvon Diggs. They're doing it with guys who just want to go out and play ball. And I love it. I think the Washington Commanders could take a page out of that book. Doesn't have to be high-paid marquee guys making plays. Your other guys are just as important as the top 53 guys on the roster. Daniel Jones is my second big takeaway from last night's game. He impressed me a ton. The numbers aren't gaudy. They're not going to jump out at you, but it's just proficient play at the quarterback position. 20 of 37, 196. He ends up throwing an interception to Trayvon Diggs that sealed the deal for Dallas last night. But Daniel Jones was under siege a hell of a lot last night. 5 sacks. And, you know, us fans here in Washington can relate to our starting quarterback being under siege. But it's the way Daniel Jones handled the pressure last night that I thought was the difference between him and Carson Wentz. And we'll get more into Carson Wentz's play and performance from Sunday against Philadelphia as the show progresses here today. But I want to take a second just to give the flowers to Daniel Jones and really give flowers to myself, because if anyone listens to me on a regular basis, you know I've been very high on Daniel Jones this entire offseason. The marriage between him and new head coach Brian Daboll, I thought was a match made in heaven. When you look at Daniel Jones from a physical standpoint, there isn't a lot of striking differences between him and Josh Allen over in Buffalo. And the reason I constantly am making that comparison is because Daniel Jones, Brian Daboll, was brought to New York to get the Josh Allen out of Daniel Jones, so to speak. And I mentioned the things that he does on the ground. 9 carries, 79 yards. It's not just against Washington that he knows how to rush the football. Daniel Jones, a very underrated athlete in this league at the quarterback position. And just based off of what I saw from him last night, the ability to, and I love this phrase, the ability to take a licking and keep on ticking is what sets Daniel Jones apart. And as we move throughout the show here, we'll ask some hardball questions. We're going to ask the questions today here on this show that nobody wants to talk about, because I don't care that we're just 3 games into the season. I don't care that there are 14 games left to go. There are some glaring issues with the Washington Commanders that date back to last year. And today, I'm going to get to the bottom of it. We'll finish this wrap-up of Giants and Cowboys from last night. Anybody who was watching last night clearly understands Tony Pollard, officially the Dallas Cowboys' best back. I don't think it's much of a discussion. He bust a 46-yarder yesterday. He's just got a different burst than Ezekiel Elliott has at this point in his career. And it's no knock towards Ezekiel Elliott, but you got to play your best players. And I think the Dallas Cowboys, like Washington, sometimes have an identity crisis. There's no reason Tony Pollard should end up with more touches or with less touches than Ezekiel Elliott. I don't care about massaging the ego of Zeke or whatever. This is a results-driven business. We all know this. I'm putting my best 11 out there down in and down out to help me win football games. I know they're still trying to, you know, make Zeke feel like he's a big part of this thing, because Zeke is one of the leaders on that football team. But when you look at the Dallas Cowboys, it's hard to see why Ezekiel Elliott gets carries on a consistent basis. It really is. Tony Pollard, 13 carries, 105 yards yesterday, average 8.1 yards a pop. I mean, just doing it. Catching balls out of the backfield. And the thing I love about Tony Pollard, I just mentioned on the 46-yard run, he has got tremendous burst. And right now, the Dallas Cowboys are obviously without starting quarterback Dak Prescott. You need all the playmakers you can get. I think Tony Pollard represents that for this Cowboys team. Another takeaway from last night's contest is I am so glad we didn't sign Kenny Golladay. Are you kidding me? The $72 million mistake that is Kenny Golladay resides in the Big Apple with the New York Football Giants. We end up signing Curtis Samuel instead that offseason, and I know year one for Samuel was injury riddled. But based on what we've seen in the first 3 weeks, I mean, I feel terrible for the New York Giants and their fans. We know what it's like here in Washington over the years to constantly overpay free agents to have them come here and do nothing. To have them come here and do absolutely nothing. We're at the point right now with Kenny Golladay in New York. They might as well cut him. Might as well cut him. He's doing nothing positive for your football team. He's a detriment at this point. And he's a sourpuss on the sidelines. So at this point, he's affecting your locker room and he's affecting the play on the field. I will say this, my last takeaway from last night's contest on Monday Night Football between the Giants and Cowboys. Remember, there was a point in time, Commanders fans, where Washington had the clear-cut best defensive line in the NFC East? Hell, even in the NFC. Doesn't exist anymore. Doesn't exist anymore. It feels like it was light years ago we were talking about Washington having the best defensive line. We saw what the Dallas Cowboys did up front, sacking Daniel Jones 5 times. They pressured him about 12 times in that football game. Guys like DeMarcus Lawrence and Dorrance Armstrong, Micah Parsons, just constantly, you know, having Jones under duress the entire contest. And Washington, at a point in time, had that on this football team. Now, it's a thing of the past. We're at a situation, and we're at a point right now, where the defensive line, outside of two guys, Deron Payne and Jonathan Allen, could be seen as a weakness of this football team. They lack depth. And they lack game records outside of Payne and Allen. We'll get into Montez Sweat, who a lot of people like to coin my favorite member of this Commanders defense sarcastically later on in the show, because his lack of production through the first 3 weeks is really just a microcosm of what's wrong with Washington right now. I don't even think it's close. This team has straight up regressed. They have. In the 3 seasons that Ron Rivera has been here, year 3 was supposed to be the best. This team has taken multiple steps back, not only from 2020, but from last year as well. And you all watched this team play defense a season ago. It didn't look like you could take that many steps backwards from a defensive standpoint. But, oh, leave it up to Washington. They found a way to do it. The Dallas Cowboys are Washington's next opponent. As we head into this Week 4 matchup, is it already must-win territory for Washington this early on in the season? I'll answer that for you next, right here on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We'll be right back. Team 980 in the Odyssey app. Linnell Willingham here with you on Burgundy in Gold today. The best Washington Commanders coverage. I got to stop saying in town, in the nation. We got expert analysis, fan reaction, and some of the biggest names in Burgundy and Gold history. That's weekdays 12 to 3 right here on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. We opened up the show recapping last night's Monday Night Football game between the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants for good reason. The Dallas Cowboys are next on the Washington Commanders' schedule. And that just lets you know how bad Sunday's loss was. I had to remind myself, this is Dallas week. This is Cowboys week. We had to go against our arch nemesis in the NFC East, the team that's taken our lunch money the past few seasons, the team that won this division a season ago. And as we look ahead to Dallas, Washington, as everyone knows, sits at 1-2 right now. You've lost two straight. And really, you know, it's never the time to mail the season in or give up on these guys three games into the season. But man, after what I've seen from Washington the past two weekends, it really is hard for me to find any type of silver linings with this group. It really is hard for me to be optimistic when talking about this group, because I don't have any cut cards when it comes to the Washington Commanders. I say this all the time. There's nobody I have to report to. I don't have access that I'm worried about getting revoked. This group, the past 2 weeks, offensively, has been piss poor. This group, the past 2 weeks, defensively, for the most part, has been piss poor. That brings us to week four. You're on the road, going in a hostile territory, taking on the Dallas Cowboys. As we sit here, heading into week four, is this weekend's game against Dallas a must-win? And it's a two-parter for you guys. Would it change your outlook on this team for the season if Washington somehow is able to beat the odds and go into Jerry's World and get a win this Sunday? Team 980 listener lines wide open, 301-230-0980. Is this weekend's game against Dallas a must-win football game? And would it change your outlook on this team if they're able to go and get a win Sunday in Dallas? I'll answer the question myself here early on. It is a must-win game for the Washington Commanders. And anybody who says otherwise, I'm sorry. Clearly, this doesn't mean as much to you as it means to me. I'll be straight up. I don't care that there are 14 games left. I don't. I need to see improvement. This group, and I said it in the opening segment, this group, as far as I'm concerned, has regressed. Not only this season, but dating back to last year. This offense came out guns a-blazing week one against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then guess what? They were outscored 46-0 in back-to-back first halves. So my optimism's out the window. You've now shown me more bad than you've shown me good. Now, going back to the question, is it a must-win? Yes. Would it change my outlook on the season? 100%. Because I'll be straight up. Right now, the Washington Commanders, through 3 weeks, and really just the last 2 weeks, look lifeless. They do. Where is the reasons for optimism on this group? Where's the reasons to be positive about this football team? This is the fourth straight year a Ron Rivera-led football team has begun the season 1-2. It's the fourth straight season. There's a constant pattern and theme that I think we're all ignoring. How many times do we have to see the same thing over and over and over again before we make some type of significant change? When's the change going to come? Because if you listen to head coach Ron Rivera, there need to be change. We'll play some of Ron Rivera's audio from his media availability yesterday, and boy, oh boy, buckle up for that. Because I'm tired of it. I understand you have a job to do as a head coach. I understand part of your job as a head coach, being quite frank, is lip service. You got to say the right things all the time. But that's the problem. This is Washington, D.C. This is one of the biggest media markets in the entire country. We're not buying lip service. This isn't Carolina. You can't step up to the podium after a loss and say whatever the hell you want and think people are just going to, you know, not react harshly to it. This is real life stuff here. It is. Like I said, the fourth straight year a Ron Rivera-led team has started off 1-2. And the most frustrating part about the 1-2 start is that everyone I talked to this offseason told me, well, this group would be better this year because the schedule is a lot easier. And it's a nuanced thing when you say that. Because not only is the schedule easier by teams that you're playing, it's also easier based off the quarterbacks that you're having to go against. And this is why I say Sunday is a must-win against the Dallas Cowboys. You're going up against a backup in Cooper Rush. I don't care what he did against Cincinnati. I don't care what he did against Minnesota last year. I don't care what he did to the Giants last night. If you can't go to Dallas and beat a backup quarterback with this roster, with this amount of talent that they've got on this football team, what are we playing the games for? What's the reason? What's my reason to be optimistic about this group? Seriously, I want to hear from you guys. Team 980 listener lines wide open, 301-230-0980. Is this weekend's game against Dallas a must-win football game? And the second part of it is, would it change your outlook on this team for the season? Year three was supposed to be the year. They told us all summer long, year three was supposed to be the year that this group was going to take a significant leap forward. That's what was preached to us this summer, that this was going to be the year. You had me sold for about three quarters against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I was drinking the Kool-Aid, nicknaming people, walking to them Wentz, shout Turner. Now look at me, pie in my face. I look like an idiot. Because for the past 2 weeks, offensively, this group has come out and stunk the joint up from the get-go. And we're talking about the Eagles game at this point. We are. I don't want to go back to Detroit because the defense played piss poor against Detroit. We're now at a point right now, defensively, against Philadelphia, they did all they could do. You can't be mad at the performance defensively against the Philadelphia Eagles. What you can be mad at is the fact that this team refused to make any type of changes or adjustments offensively. What you can be mad at is the lack of effort up front along this offensive line. Guys getting their ass kicked. And the thing that frustrates me the most about all of this is, didn't Ron Rivera preach competition all offseason long? Wasn't competition one of the big buzzwords coming out of training camp for the Washington Commanders? Then answer me this. Why the hell is Trey Turner still the starting guard of this football team? Trey Turner practiced maybe three or four times all training camp, yet was handed a starting job along the offensive line. And I don't know how many of you all have had the opportunity to go back and look at the tape from this past weekend against Philadelphia. Trey Turner got beat like a drum. No changes were made up front. That's really where most of my frustration lies. When is enough enough? Because we continue to hear that, oh, it's early on in the season. Oh, we're still trying to correct things. It's all a microcosm of your wrongdoing. You had every opportunity to go out and participate in joint practices this year. You chose not to. Mind you, you're not the only team in the NFL that's refusing to participate in these joint practices. But I'll tell you what, you sure as hell could have used it. Because now you're in a situation where you're not able to truly understand and diagnose the flaws of this football team until it's too late. The regular season is here. There is no more time to get better and look back and talk about what could have been. You're in a situation right now. You got 14 games left. You're 1-2. You're in dead last in the NFC East. The team that was projected to finish dead last, by all accounts, is better than you at this point. So two of the wins that we had circled on the schedule, talking about us beating the Giants, I don't think this team can beat the Giants. Not right now. Not as currently constructed. You'd be crazy as hell to think they can go in and beat the New York Giants, especially after what I saw last night. A team that has heart, backbone, grit. They got punched in the face and punched back. Where's our punch back? I watched this offensive line get decimated and whipped for 60 minutes on Sunday. A 60-minute beatdown. It's on coaches at this point. It's on players. Last week I came in here and I said, I can't blame the coaches. I got to blame the players. Where's the effort? Maybe guys just aren't as skilled. But now we're at the point where the coaching staff, when it becomes clear that you need to make adjustments, are failing to do so. I want to hear from you guys, though. Team 980 listener lines wide open, 301-230-0980. Is this weekend's game against the Dallas Cowboys a must-win for Washington? Let's go to Daryl, who's in Columbia, wants to tap in. What's going on?
Hey, Linnell, you hit everything you said, man. I'm 100% in agreement. Absolutely. I thought that Philadelphia was a must-win. You know what I don't understand? It's so funny. During the preseason, they were playing a vanilla defense and a vanilla offense, not wanting to show anything. Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't seen a difference since the season has started.
Me?
I don't know about – you know what I'm saying? I haven't seen no – what were they hiding? What were they hiding?
But the problem that I see is that it's the coordinators. They do not make game time adjustments. They do not make game planning adjustments. If I'm going up against the Cowboys this week, I'm doing what the Giants did. I got two tight ends like we used to have, Donnie Warren and Didier, and I got two wideouts. And I'm gonna pound that ball, and I'm gonna do play action. I'm gonna put Wentz big behind underneath the center, and we're gonna do play action, and we're gonna ground and pound. You know, and that's how you equalize that where they can just pin their ears back and rush. So, you know, I don't see the strategy. Even Turner's offense, when he's running his offense, it's almost like a fighter. You know, you're setting him up for something. I never see the setup. You know, it's like, let me pick a play like he's playing Madden. You know, and the same with Del Rio. He got all of the players playing out of their skill positions, where they excelled in. He's trying to reinvent the wheel. I don't understand his coaching staff. I mean, from the top to the bottom, man, needs to change.
And Daryl, I'll say this, man. I appreciate the call, man. It's too late. It's too early, or too late, excuse me, to try to be reinventing the wheel. And that's one of my favorite comments of all the callers since we've been doing this show. You can't try and reinvent the wheel. The National Football League is full of very smart and capable individuals. You can't reinvent the wheel. You're not doing anything that no one's seen before. And Daryl hit it on the head. The lack of adjustments is really what's been alarming for me the past 2 weeks. Specifically with Scott Turner, the offensive coordinator, somebody who I am extremely high on, somebody who I thought deserved a contract extension this offseason. Because guess what? I say it all the time. I don't evaluate my offensive coordinators until I figure out, or until they have, the guy under center that they want. But guess what? Scott Turner, your days are numbered. Your days are numbered being criticism-free because you have the guy you want under center right now. Now it's on you. It's about, can you be a competent coach, make enough adjustments to give this team a fighter's chance? You knew the Philadelphia Eagles had a monstrous pass rush heading into Sunday's game. You knew that. You knew that. You knew the Detroit Lions ran the football. Where are the adjustments? Where are our guys being put in the best position to succeed? And I always say this. You all heard me say it last week. Jack Del Rio didn't bust any coverages. Scott Turner didn't miss any assignments up front and get Carson Wentz sacked. But I will say this. They're not putting our guys in position to be successful. And right now, it's very evident. Right now, it is very evident. And heading into this weekend against Dallas, a team whose strength, once again, lies up front along their defensive line, are you going to adjust this week? How long is it going to take you? Because I'll tell you what, I can't watch another half of offensive performance like we've gotten the past 2 weeks against Detroit and against Philadelphia. At some point, you got to throw your damn first 15 script out of the window and adjust. When are we going to be the tone setters? When are we going to dictate how the football game is being played? That's what I'm waiting on. I want to hear from you guys, though. 301-230-0980. Is this weekend's game against the Dallas Cowboys a must-win game? It's a two-parter. If they do win this football game, would it change your outlook on this team for the rest of the season? We'll be back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Burgundy and gold today here on the Team 980 in the Odyssey at Linnell Willingham, flying solo today. Today and tomorrow, matter of fact, Doc Walker, Scott Jackson back with you on Thursday. The discussion will remain the same. It's Cowboys week. It's supposed to be the biggest game of the season. I want to put expectations on this group because that's what nobody seems to do around here. We seem to be okay with the mediocre product that's been put out on the field the last 20-plus years. Today, I promised myself, I said, you know what? We're going to get to the bottom of everything today. I'm pulling back every layer of the onion today. I'm trying to get down to the nitty-gritty and find out what's really wrong with the team that I root for, the team that I love, the team that I spend my hard-earned dollars on. What's wrong with this group? We'll get some help doing that top of the hour at 1 o'clock. David Aldridge of The Athletic joins the show. We'll take a deep dive into the overall direction of this football team and where things currently sit for this group. 2:15, Logan Paulson, co-host of the Take Command podcast, set to join us. We'll put a bow on the ugly Philly loss and get some answers. Were the sacks more on Carson Wentz? Or were the sacks more on the state of this offensive line? Right now, though, we're talking about the Cowboys game coming up this Sunday. I've dubbed it a must-win game. I'm tired of pretending like things don't matter. If this football team falls to 1-3, all hell might break loose. Because really think about it here. If we can look at the schedule here for a second, Washington plays the Dallas Cowboys this Sunday. If they lose to Dallas, that drops them to 1-3. Then you're home the next week, hosting the Tennessee Titans, another team that is desperate. Then, after that, on a short week, you got Chicago. I'll give you one or two of those games. Between Tennessee and Chicago, they should win one of those football games. Now you're at a point where you're sitting at 2-4 with Green Bay coming to town. Then you got to go on the road at Indy. Then you're home for Minnesota. Then guess who else you got to go see? The Philadelphia Eagles. So I'm at the point right now, if this team is unable to beat Dallas, Where's the season going to go? How ugly could things possibly get? Let's be real. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy. Whatever you want to call it. I'm trying to be real. That's all I know. This football team should be in desperation mode right now. They should be in desperation mode right now. I want to hear from you guys, though. Team 980 listener lines wide open, 301-230-0980. Is this weekend's game in Dallas a must win? Let's go to Ethan once to tap in. What's going on, Ethan?
Well, basically, I mean, you look at, of course it's a must win, but you look at the body work of the last 22 years. I mean, we've played Dallas 44 times in 22 years, and the record's 32-12 versus the Cowboys in their favor. Wow. And it's not much better versus our other division rivals. That's how bad it is. Now, you look at a team like Philadelphia in 2020, 4-11-1. Last year, playoff team needed to upgrade their defense. Not only did they go out and sign defensive free agents, they drafted well, and they went and got the kid Brown from Tennessee. And that translates into being an NFC favorite. Who did we lose? Settle, Ioannidis, Sheriff, cut Flowers. And what do we replace them with? Nothing. Trey Turner, who did Pittsburgh didn't even want back. So you look at the body of work. They're just not ran like a professional franchise, and they haven't been in years. And no, what the story that we get is that Rivera went to North Carolina to watch film with Gibbs, and Gibbs gave him constructive criticism on the way that he was running the team. Let me tell you something. Joe Gibbs is an icon in this town, and he was one of the greatest coaches ever. But think about that word, coach. Coach. He wasn't good at picking players.
No,
Bobby
he was
Beathard
not.
Was good at picking players.
Ethan, let me ask
Charlie
you this,
Casterly,
buddy. Let me ask you this, buddy.
Yeah.
Based off of everything you just said, and I'm in complete agreement with you, does a win Sunday against Dallas change anything? Or is it just a formality at this point? Does it give you any more confidence in the regime moving forward? You think it's a formality?
No, I think it's a formality because at the end of the day, when you don't fill the needs on your team. And listen, every team has weaknesses unless you have like a Patrick Mahomes who can make up for him or an Aaron Rodgers or whatever. But at the end of the day, when you can't play to the strengths of your players, and I think that's the biggest problem, you can't come out here and tell the fans anymore that the players don't know their assignments or are out of position, which means they don't know the scheme after a year of watching that sieve of a defense last year.
Hey, I appreciate your call, my man. Yeah, hits it right on the head. Hits it right on the head. I will say this, though, because I'm trying to get to the bottom of this and trying to take the temperature and check the pulse of this fan base. Because I know how frustrating it is to be on the fan side of this whole thing. We got to deal with Philadelphia Eagles fans coming in and taking over FedEx Field. What have they given us to go out and fill up FedEx? What reason do I have to waste my hard-earned dollar on a ticket at FedEx Field? The product on the field stinks. The in-stadium experience isn't worth a damn. What reason do I have to go to FedEx Field? It's all a part of a deeper rooting issue. And like I said, I promised you all, we will get to the bottom of it today. If it's the last thing I do, we will get to the bottom of this today. The question right now, though, was simple. Is this weekend's game against the Dallas Cowboys a must-win? It's a two-parter here. If they somehow manage to win against Dallas, does it change your outlook for the rest of this season? Let's go to Lap once to tap in. What's going on, Lap?
Hey, what's up, man? I don't know what it's going to take. This team is really sad, man. Like the last call, I agree. What has been going on for the last 20 years. We probably just need to start over, man. But I do want the Cowboys, no doubt. But they just gotta be ready to play, man.
So let me ask you this, man. As somebody who is a diehard fan of this football team, have you reached the point where Sunday's result doesn't matter, and you've already lost the season? The season's already lost for you.
I think it's over because I mean, you got high school programs that run better than this organization, man. This is just crazy, man. I ain't never seen nothing like it. I'm getting ready for the Wizards, man. At least I know in the first 20-30 games if the Wizards going to be for real or not.
Yeah.
So I got some time, but dang, man. It's crazy, bro.
Hey, I appreciate the call, my man. And that's interesting to hear from Lap. It's the reason I posed the question and framed the question this way. Would it change your outlook on this season if Washington is somehow able to go to Dallas this Sunday and win? Because as bad as it stings right now, as bad as it hurts, this team sits at 1-2. If you beat Dallas, you're back to 500 and you're right in the thick of things within the division. All your goals are still in front of you if you go to Dallas and win this Sunday. The problem is, I don't know how confident I am in this group going to do it. I will say this. It is 110% a must-win football game. And if they don't win this football game, we got to start looking at ourselves in the mirror here as a team. They need to start looking themselves in the mirror. Because if you can't beat a backup quarterback on Sunday, who else are you going to beat throughout the rest of the season? This is probably the worst quarterback you're going to have to play for the rest of the year. You still got to go up against Ryan Tannehill, Justin Fields, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins. You got Jalen Hurts one more time. You got to go up against Marcus Mariota. You got Daniel Jones twice. Luckily for us, we get to play Deshaun Watson. You got Dak Prescott to finish off the season. If you don't win this week, then when do you win? Straight up. We've reached a point, and I know we're only 3 games, and I know that. So if anybody's going to call in here and say, well, now we're just 3 games into the season, I know that. But at some point, you got to set an attitude and a tone for the way the rest of this thing's going to go. You came out guns a-blazing against Jacksonville, and then you put up a stinker in back-to-back weeks. Stella got to find her groove. You got to get your mojo back. Where's the swagger that this team has in them? I know they got it in them. I am a firm believer of most of the talent that's in the locker room. It's about can this coaching staff and the players come together and say, look, winning has got to be the priority over everything else. Damn the egos. Damn guys trying to look right. It's about wins and losses at the end of the day. Let's go to JR. He wants to tap in. JR, do you think Sunday's game against the Dallas Cowboys is a must-win?
Well, you have to look at it like this. If you want things to stay the same, it's a must-win. They'll go 500 if they win this weekend. They'll be 500 at the end of the year. They'll win 5 or 6 games in a row at some point, and everybody be happy. The fans, organization be bragging. The fans will be back on the bandwagon. They'll go 500. Might make the playoffs and get blown out. Or you can sit here and let them lose, watch them lose, hope they lose, and maybe things have changed because they can get a top 2 or 3 pick, get a quarterback, get a new coaching staff, and things might change with a real quarterback and a real coaching staff. If not, everything's going to be the same. They'll be 500, everybody a cheer, and then next year we'll be going through the same thing again.
Hey, I appreciate the call, my man. Look, it's a double-edged sword, and I asked the question for a reason. Look, a lot of you all that call into this show have been fans of this team for decades, so you've seen it. You understand the frustration that is built in with this unit. It's the same thing over and over and over and over again. And we'll talk about the direction of this football team a little bit later on in the show. We're not there yet. Hold your horses. We'll do a complete deep dive. David Aldridge from The Athletic comes on at the top of the 1 o'clock hour here. And we'll begin to peel the curtains back on that question right there. Are you confident in the direction of this football team? Right now, though, we're still in Dallas week. This team has an opportunity this Sunday to make everything feel a lot better than what it does right now. They have the opportunity this Sunday to come out with a different sense of urgency on both sides of the football and right their wrongs. We owe it to this team to give them the opportunity to do that. I'm not going to give up on this team during Dallas week. I don't got it in me. I want to beat the Cowboys as bad as I want to be rich. They can lose every game the rest of the way. If we beat Dallas, I feel good. I feel good. But we're at a spot right now where I'm calling it how it is. Sunday is a must-win football game against the Dallas Cowboys. Would it change your outlook on this team for the remainder of the season if they can go to Jerry's World on Sunday and pick up a victory. We'll continue to take your calls. Team 980 listener lines wide open, 301-230-0980. David Aldridge of The Athletic set to join us at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. Next, though, more of your calls on whether or not Sunday's game against Dallas is a must win. Top of the 1 o'clock hour, David Aldridge of The Athletic set to join the show. He's been covering the Washington football franchise from the Redskins to the football team to the Commanders for many, many, many years. So we're blessed to be able to get his thoughts and opinions on the current state of this franchise, because that's where we are. That's where we're at right now. Three games into the season, we're already legitimately discussing the future of the team. The future. We're three games in talking about the future. If that doesn't tell you where this football team is right now, then I don't know what else will. Team 980 listener lines wide open, 301-230-0980. The Commanders sit at 1-2 right now as we head into Dallas week. They got a huge showdown Sunday in Jerry's World against the Dallas Cowboys. The question is simple. Is this weekend's game versus Dallas a must win? It's a two-parter for you. Would it change your outlook for the remainder of the season if Washington can go to Dallas this Sunday and get a victory? Let's go to Reggie, who's in Baltimore and wants to tap in. Reggie, is this weekend a must-win game, and would it change your mindset for the rest of the season going forward?
Hey, Linnell, thanks for taking my call, man. Absolutely. It's a must-win, man. And, yep, the second part, if they stumbled up and beat the Cowboys, no, it wouldn't change my mind. It wouldn't. The only thing that would really change my mind, Linnell, is when these guys, when this team start competing for playoff spots. Right now, we're looking at the Cowboys or Philly winning this division. We can't beat these two teams. We might split with the Giants, you know, but all when you look at the NFC as a whole, those teams are getting better. The Cowboys draft well. And that's another point, too, Linnell. We, under Rivera, I'm not sure about the draft process, man. We're just not hitting on the draft picks we're getting.
You're not wrong.
You know, right. You know, we need an offensive line. Everybody know that. The linebacker position. I mean, and then teams look like they all know how to attack our defense. Everybody knows how to attack our defense, you know. So, no, man, it won't change my mind, man. Like I say, we want to compete and win division, get in the playoffs. When we start doing that, it'll change my mind. But just one game against Dallas, absolutely not. Thanks for taking my call, Linnell.
Hey, I appreciate the call, my man. Look, I can't blame anybody who feels like that. I can't. And I asked the question and I phrased it like that for a reason. We're only three games in. There is room for this team to turn things around drastically. They have 14 games left. Your narrative and your story is not written yet. It's up to you about how the remaining 14 games are going to go. They can choose to hang their heads and feel sorry for themselves because they're 1-2 and they got spanked at home by the Philadelphia Eagles. That's all fine and dandy. Hanging your head on that and sulking about it isn't going to change the damn results. And that's what I'm frustrated with. Why does it feel like every time Ron Rivera goes to the podium, it's some sort of funeral going on? Where's the rah-rah? Where's the energy and the passion within this organization? There's no reason. We're down 24-0 at halftime, and Fox pans over and shows our sideline, and nobody's emotional. Nobody's yelling. Nobody's impassioned. It's almost like they're used to it. That's the problem. We got to change the mindset. We can't be comfortable and complacent with losing. Straight up. A loser doesn't care when he loses. I don't care if you're not a winner yet. Act like one. Act like one. Where is your pride? Where is your want to? Let's go to David, who's in D.C. David, does a win this Sunday change your outlook about this football team?
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course, man.
I feel as though even if we went against Dallas, I still wouldn't be, you know, concerned too much because y'all got to put a winning streak together. They cannot put a winning streak together. So that one win wouldn't really change my mind about the outcome at all. Jack Del Rio playing that soft defense, whatever he call it, I mean, that's ridiculous. They can't stop nobody. The secondary can't check nobody. I'm like, what do we need to play a high school team or something? I don't understand.
Might as well. I appreciate the call, David. Look, we're at that point. We're at that point with this group because it's different. It's so totally different if you're 1-2 and you were competitive in the last two losses. It's a huge difference. The narrative is not what it is right now. If you were competitive, and that's the thing that's got me bothered. We're at the point where we're asking for the team just to be competitive. Where are the standards for this group? And I say this all the time. I respect the hell out of Commanders fans. Y'all are diehard. I tell you guys all the time, I'm a young fan. I'm only 24 years old. I've been a fan of this team. Sean Taylor's passing was the first year I really, truly followed this football team. They haven't given me anything to cheer about. Yet, y'all still go out there every Sunday and give y'all hard-earned money and cheer for this team. I respect the hell out of y'all for it. When are they going to hold up their end of the bargain? I know it must be frustrating as hell as a fan. A home game. And you got 70% of the opponent's crowd there. It's a product of what's going on the football field. It has nothing to do with Jason Wright and the in-game activities. It has nothing to do with any of that. Quit trying to place the blame in the wrong spots. Blame the people who are out there. Blame the 22 guys that are out there Sundays competing. Blame them. Blame the coaching staff who's in charge of putting a game plan together to put these guys in the best position to be successful. Blame them. You can't blame the fans. I'll say that. The next time I hear Ron Rivera go up there and say, we want the fans, we want to have a home field advantage, we want the fans to come out and support us, go out and put a respectable product on the field, and maybe, just maybe, you'll have an opportunity of having that happen. We got to take a quick timeout. When we come back, David Aldridge, senior writer for The Athletic, is set to join us. He'll give us his take on what happened Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles. Plus, we'll ask him if he's optimistic about the remainder of the Commanders season. Don't go anywhere. David Aldridge is next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.